Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tausch?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Edition. The back where I belong, all alone in the basement, no distractions, dogs, cats, but not people. Great to spend time with our ESPN Milwaukee team yesterday. I had a great time. Great to see Chad and Danny from Steinhoffels. That was great. It was a great trip, but I have a better understanding of old T. And why he would always get distracted when he went to the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios and TVs were in certain spots. So what I did was I had them put you on my TVs everywhere, which definitely made me not want to look. Booyah!
Oh, burn.
Nice. Wow.
Edition.
Start, Jason.
Well,
very
there's
mean.
Not a lot of nice people on that X platform either. Being called names and stuff. Edition. The Brian Bulaga edition, the Steve the Homer True edition, and the It's Somebody's Birthday Today, and it's a landmark birthday for that person, and Jesse's parents are out of town for that too, I guess, edition. It's not Jesse's. I'll tell you eventually.
Wasn't it Jesse's birthday last week?
Yeah, it was.
Everybody
yeah,
knows
Jesse's
when
birthday.
My birthday was.
Yeah. It's quite the day for America edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde back in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And, of course, from his undisclosed location back there, too, because he was in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios yesterday.
Fun day over at the Everlight. Yeah, fun day at the Everlight Solar studios yesterday.
Anywhere you might be, it's always fun. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
Oh, just Pizza Hut was there. We had a great little Pizza Hut spread with their fries and their wings and their pizzas and all their dipping sauces. We had the Carmi was in there. It was just a fun day at the Everlight Solar Studios yesterday. We missed you.
Well, I was in Milwaukee meeting with partners, too, so I'm glad that we both had productive days yesterday.
Day.
Tausch was weird yesterday.
Yesterday?
He wouldn't let me...
Hey, what's... Wait a minute.
Oh, boy.
What? All right, for those of you not watching on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, Jesse Nelson is wearing a McGuanago shirt. Yeah, somebody screenshot that for me. Get the 565 Analytics Collective on that.
Look how good you look,
you look
Jesse.
Great.
You look
yeah,
great.
What is that, a medium?
I did buy it from the school store, so whatever that's worth.
But you're a Muskego guy.
Yeah.
And I think they're playing each other for a trip to state.
They are on ESPN Madison of the YouTube channel coming up on Friday night. I will not be on the call because I'm too biased to be the announcer of it.
You know? Yeah, so you have a conflict of interest.
Definitely.
Why are you wearing the opponent of your high school that you are so proud of right now?
So I lost a bet 2 years ago, and I never paid up on it.
Oh, there's a shot.
Oh, you're in a Speedo washing brush
car? That's a different one. That's a different one. This one was with, of all people, Up North Joe, who went to Maguanago High School, as I've gotten to know him. And we made a wager on a Muskego-Maguanago football game a couple of years ago when they were two of the best teams in the state. And Maguanago won, and we said the loser had to buy a shirt of the opposing team from the opposing school's school store online and get it. And then if it was me, I had to wear it on the show one day. And so I did do it. I think I wore a sweatshirt the day I actually wore it here in the studio,
okay.
But I never actually paid off the wager. So I was reminded of that the other day when I ran into him on Saturday as we were talking about how the two teams were meeting on Friday for a trip to go to the state championship game in Division I. And so I said this week I promised him I would pay up, and here we are today. I figured today was as good a day as any since he does our trivia on Wednesdays now.
Wasn't the game on Friday?
No, it's coming up this Friday.
Yeah, I just said, isn't the game on Friday?
Oh, yes, the game is on Friday, but I'm not going to be on this show.
He's a little frazzled by the fact that he's
wearing you're off
blind.
On Friday.
I am not going to be on this show on Friday, correct.
Oh, yes. My God.
What?
Yes.
Riley Yelk Fridays, you know that.
No, actually, Hunter Vaughn Friday this week. Our schedule is a little jacked up this week.
You're the scheduler.
Yes.
You make the schedules.
The Wisconsin volleyball team has its West Coast road trip for the year, Thursday and Saturday. Yeah. Thursday night.
Yeah, I was told the volleyball schedule would have nothing to do with our show.
This one
is what I was told.
This one 100% has something to do with our 10 p.m. first serve on Thursday night, and then a much earlier 9:30 first serve on Saturday night.
What does that have to do with you working on the show on Friday?
So, because I am the studio anchor for volleyball, I will not be on the show on Friday. You guys get the schedule. Do you not read your schedules to see that I'm off on Friday?
No,
it's not even on the schedule. It's in the body of the email that I sent. All you got to do is read the body of the email and you see that I'm off
on Friday.
So,
you're telling me that because the Badgers volleyball team plays a night game, you are not going to appear on the show the next day?
Time.
That's
exactly what he's saying.
Does that mean when the Packers play the Lions in prime time on Thursday, December 5th, I'm taking the 6th off to not talk about Packers-Lions, which will probably
sounds
be
like
the
it.
Biggest game of the year?
If you're on the air till 1 in the
it
morning,
will be
I
the
wouldn't
biggest
blame
game
you.
Game.
Yeah.
Do you know how late I work on a night game?
No.
Okay.
About 1 in the morning. No, right. No. Don't stop. No, you don't get to interrupt me now. No.
Ugh. No.
Okay. I tell you all
it.
The time how important of a piece you are of our show. But, like, what percentage of Fridays have you worked now in the last 2 months?
The October Fridays were an interesting case. Weddings and
I was zero for that
days
month.
Off
zero.
And whatnot. I actually worked on a day.
And by the
off
way, that's the longest October. Month in the history of 20
very
of the
long.
2000
yeah.
November flying by though.
Mm-hmm. It is.
All right. Well, we'll be happy to have Hunter Vaughn.
Yeah. He's in on Friday.
Here's something else. All right. So, back to your shirt. You're not calling that game on Friday either. So, you're not doing that job.
Yeah. Nope. Okay. Which is ironic because originally I was going to, and then things changed around, and now I'm off of Wilde and Tausch Friday, and I'm not doing the game on Friday night, so I kind of just have a free day on Friday is what ended up happening. So, that's, yeah.
Okay.
Weird how things shake out sometimes.
Interesting. All right. I'm happy for you.
Huge game.
Yeah. Before you appeared on the screen with your shirt, you were going to say something else. Have you now forgotten it?
Oh, you know, Tausch didn't want me to sit next to him yesterday in this big meeting we had. It was very awkward.
Wait, didn't, like, said specifically, don't sit next to me?
We have this big meeting with Craig and our whole team where we're reviewing kind of stuff for the year. And we get into this conference room, and it's a big, like, U-shaped, like, table that we're all sitting around to see where the TV screen that where the presentation's on and everything. And Tao sits, like, front row, front seat, and I'm like, I'll go sit by my guy, Old T. So I, you know, grab my Pizza Hut, go on over and sit by him, and he goes, oh, you're going to sit right next to me, huh? When there was an open chair on the right-hand side, there were other people still coming in.
There wasn't just an open chair. There was 100 open chairs. And I never said, don't sit. I just said, are you really going to jam right next to me? There's nobody sitting anywhere on the full row. But there's a seat right next to me, and then there's 7 seats right to the right of me. And Jesse jams in right next to me, wolfing down wings and ranch and everything else. And I just said, if you're going to a urinal, you're not going right. If there's a row of 15 spots at a urinal, you're not jumping right next to me.
Well, some people do.
Or if you're in an airplane and the airplane has got a bunch of seats, you're not going to jam right next to me.
It's not like there were a ton of open seats by the time we got into the meeting. When the meeting started, there was only one open seat at the entire table, and it was the one right next to you.
There were 5 open seats.
Where? I'd love to see the replay on that.
But that makes me weird that I want a little space. Do you not know me?
I thought of all the people of all the people that would sit next to you, I thought you would appreciate that I would be the one that sits next to you. So you're not, you know, in an uncomfortable spot.
Well, I'm glad Gravy did, since he's been sick as a dog. But yeah, no, I didn't say don't sit next. I said don't sit immediately right next to me when there's 42 extra chairs open. That's a weird thing.
It ended up being weird because then the chair was open the entire meeting. So you're sitting front row, front seat. Then there's an open space and then the rest of us. It was awkward.
I disagree. I didn't think there was anything awkward about it. I thought it was comfortable and nice.
Well, it was comfortable for you once he moved. Once he didn't sit next to you, apparently, right?
It was comfortable for Jesse, too.
He just wants to
he
be
had a little
with
arm
his big
space.
Body.
His left arm is right next to me. It was great. We could use the chair as an armrest. It was nice.
Here he is trying to develop a closer-knit relationship with you.
Oh,
and
I
you
think Jesse
tell
and I
go
are
sit
about
somewhere
as
else.
Tight as we need to be. I think that's a fair. Jesse and I are as tight as we need to be. I think that's a fair assessment. I like Jelly. He's fun.
Yeah, we all like Jelly.
But he doesn't need to sit on my lap.
We'll go on road trips together, but you'll sit in the back seat.
This wasn't Christmas. He didn't need to sit on Santa's lap to eat his wings. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Okay, well, we're glad that you did not have him sitting on your lap. I didn't realize you were such a personal space guy. Like, we know, you know.
Really?
Bigger, yeah, like when what I understand if you're jammed into an airplane. Totally get it, right? Because we've heard you tell your tales of travel, because it seems like it's been a while since you really had a story of being irritated on travel.
It's because I work constantly.
Maybe it's the charter flights as opposed to flying commercially.
Potentially.
That might be a factor. But we understand you don't want to be crowded on an airplane. But I didn't realize that you needed, like, extra space.
I'm an edge guy. Listen, I played tackle in the league because I like being on the edge.
Oh, hey,
I'm not interested in sitting in the middle. Like, if I go to a restaurant, I'm not sitting. By the way, a lot of it is I'm trying to be empathetic to the people I'm with.
Oh.
Nobody wants to jam it. I'm a big dude. I get it. And I understand. So I always try to sit on the edge. And if I'm at a bar, my neck doesn't turn great to the right anymore. So I like to sit where I can turn to my left and have a little space.
Sure.
And I feel like I'm not going to be a great conversationalist if I'm in the middle because I got to go like this to turn to my right.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm trying to be obviously selfish in the front that I like to be comfortable, but I also want to be, I guess, open-minded to trying to help other people.
Okay, well, thank you for your service, for being
such
a
considerate. I didn't really think it was that big a deal, but obviously it struck a nerve with Jesse.
Yeah, it's kind of like the whole Aaron Rodgers, Romeo Dobbs saying, I learned a lot from Aaron even though he barely spoke to me. Aaron thought he spoke to him plenty.
Let me tell you something. Jesse and I have enough communication for a long time. We're fine. Old Jesse and I are fine. By the way, Jesse, good win this morning. Big win. I broke the curse. I've lost three in a row to the Blazer, and we finally got him this morning. So I'm back. I'm back. I'm not in my midlife stage.
Just in the time for the season to end, or what?
Just in time for Jesse to replace you, or what?
What? Are we doing the or what's now with everything?
Apparently. Or what?
You got old windows, or what? Well, if you do, don't spend another winter shivering at home with the wind. With the wind.
Still don't understand why we're doing this.
Where's the wind?
With the wind. Hey, Windy. Thank you. You don't want that noise howling through your windows. Take advantage of this deal at Pella. No interest, no payments, 12 months. Keep your home comfortable and save on energy bills thanks to customizable windows and doors from Pella. Pella can design them to look like they've been a part of your home throughout its history. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more. Certain restrictions do apply. The offer ends 11:30 of this month.
I'm not sure where we're headed next, but I know we're talking to Brian Bulaga later. Don't sit so close to me. Don't stand so close to me. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Yeah, what's up?
You would say I'm nice, wouldn't you?
I think you're a nice guy, for the most part, yeah. I think you hold grudges too long, but we all have our issues.
But yeah. We do, no doubt about it. So this is the first sentence of my story today in the Wisconsin State Journal.
Oh, boy.
A few weeks ago, a prominent analytics-based national NFL columnist opined that based on the numbers, the Green Bay Packers should be disappointed in what they've gotten out of running back Josh Jacobs.
Oh, snap.
Nothing could be assessment.
Nothing could be further from the truth. And then
yeah,
I get into
it. I think the obviously you're assessing Barnwell's piece is, I think, accurate.
So, and I didn't want to throw him under the bus like Jesse threw Brust under the bus, because I don't think me throwing him under the bus.
Brusty, I'll tell you what, I listened. I did my hit on KPN yesterday, and then I was in my car, and Barry was backtracking now. Barry did some backtracking. It was good radio. Brusty came off looking pretty good. Yeah. He got a lot of great content. I texted the boys yesterday. I thought they were fantastic. Yeah. But Barry was great. It was great radio. So tip the cap to the boys.
He did. I noticed that Barry did not have an answer at the ready for what had set Ben off to begin with, which was what the identity of this team is, what it hangs its hat on.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an interesting turn of events, I would agree. You could find the entire back and forth on WisconsinOnDemand.com or wherever you get your podcast. Now, I am curious because Rob Domofsky also wrote about Josh Jacobs, and you are, while not as big of a stan for him as you are for Goody, Goody did bring him in, and everyone on this panel...
Robin? Brought Domofsky in. Oh, I didn't know Goody. Goody keeps making big decisions. I didn't know Goody brought Domofsky into ESPN.
No, Josh Jacobs. Did you think that was good there?
It wasn't good. Okay. It wasn't good. I should have vetted it. All right, continue. My robot nudged me and said, give a little Domofsky dig. Come on. What are you doing?
It's a pretty bold move by your robot. We all really liked Aaron Jones, all three of us. And there was about a 45-minute window once upon a time on a rainy March morning where we thought they were both going to be on the team.
And Matt LaFleur, I think, wished
so did
that
Matt LaFleur.
Was the case, too.
Yes, no doubt, no doubt.
All right.
But like both Rob and I try to present, he has been everything they could have possibly hoped for.
100%. Yes.
And what then are your expectations for him during the second half of the season, especially if they view him as, hey, if we get this guy the ball more and we're smart about it, maybe we can reduce some of the questionable risks that our quarterback has been taking.
So what did Clubber Lang say to Rocky the first time around in Rocky III? What is he expecting?
Pain.
Do you remember? That's what I expect Josh Jacobs to impact on opposing defenses. He is a hammer. He is a bell cow. He was brought in because he's more durable and he's younger than Aaron Jones. And I think we saw what Aaron Jones did last year when he missed half the season. By the way, not a coinkydink that they struggled and that the O-line wasn't as good and that Jordan Love wasn't as good. We forget about that. Aaron Jones is a stud, was a stud last year. He was dominant in the latter part of the year. Josh Jacobs has been good. He's been really good. But I think now this team isn't built like the 2014 team, some of these other teams where it was more about Rodgers and Jordy and everybody else. You got this receiving core, but let's not kid who we are. Where are the Grant Jesse? AI Jesse, everybody, my analytics firm. Where are the Packers? Where are the Packers ranked? Where is their rushing game ranked as we sit here on the 13th of November?
I feel like that's a question
because
you could have asked me.
This is a team that is a run first when they're humming. This is a run first physical football team. This is, I think that Goody has built his O-line with great athletes, but let's not kid ourselves. He wants to run the rock, and the reason you go out and spend $12 million a year on a running back, which not a lot of teams view as, oh, I'm going to get an older running back and pay him top dollar. Doesn't see that. Everybody else is doing it the oppo. Let's get young. They're doing it because he knows November, December, January, you better be able to run the football when people know you're going to run the football. So I would think Josh Jacobs is going to be a bell cow. We're going to wear his blank out. You talk about lathering up Ronnie Dane back in the 90s. I think it's going to be a Lather City USA for JJ. And you can quote that. Lather City USA for JJ. In Piscataway.
The Green Bay,
on a Sunday.
The Green Bay Packers.
And Green Bay.
Rank third in team rushing yards, according to ESPN, with
154.8
yards per game.
Right?
All right.
Baltimore?
I think it's instructive to have all these little pieces of information.
Who's first?
Baltimore.
The Baltimore Ravens lead the league in rushing with 182.6 yards per game, which is nearly 30 yards a game more than the Packers, by the way.
Well,
because they have a quarterback who runs a lot, and they have Derrick Henry. Philadelphia is second. Green Bay is third.
Which
tells you that they're doing it with their actual running back because Jordan Love's not doing a whole lot of running. By the way, the Packers are also third in the league in total offense, both on a per-play and per-game basis. They are seventh in the league in passing offense. And as Jesse, the computer-generated producer who takes Fridays off, pointed out, they are third in rushing offense as well. They are also ninth in scoring offense. Ninth.
Yeah. Hey,
those are all really good numbers.
The sky was never falling.
Except.
Stop turning the ball over. Stop turning the ball over.
Except they are 29th in red zone efficiency. They are 27th, which is bad, in interception rate.
Seems like a question for Matty Ice for J-Dub. Might be a good little Sunday article.
Indeed.
Because
also,
you go through all of that, and I don't think anyone is thinking that the Green Bay Packers offense has struggled this year. There's been too many three and outs, and obviously way too many penalties and turnovers.
Sure.
But look at what they've been able to overcome that and still be 6-3, and I don't think anyone thinks that this team is going to play worse offensively than we have.
The fact that they are ninth in scoring and they're 29th in red zone efficiency is crazy, because that would lead you to believe that if they can get their collective you-know-what together in the red zone, they have a chance to put up some big-time offensive numbers in the second half of the season.
Correct. And it's going to come from your – is today Wednesday? Your Wednesday article centerpiece, WAC, as we call it. It's going to come from him.
Yeah.
It's going to be J.J. I don't remember the whole thing I just said. Jesse, I'm sure, clipped it.
Nope.
I wish it would go away.
JJ's
going to
be that bell cow. But the bottom line is, this is a really good running football team, and I reiterated this point yesterday. And I want to thank Aaron Nagler from Cheesehead TV. I saw he clipped it or quoted it. The whole concept of running the football and having Jordan Love under center because he's going to be healthier, it's important. I can't stress that enough. Because I'm telling you right now, these defensive ends and these defensive tackles and these linebackers, they ain't biting on play action pass when Jordan Love's in the pistol and when he's doing a little. It's a lot more when he's sprinting with that ball out, faking that outside zone, faking that zone and then rolling or setting up. And all of a sudden, there's those monstrosity of windows that Tucker Kraft and Dobbs and all, because you're under center. And now, if he's healthy, I would hope that becomes more stabilized in this offense. If that's the case, rocket ship, whoop, that's where we're at. Because with all of this, we're still third in rushing. With all the injuries and everything that we just discussed, that's pretty impressive.
And the games where they fell behind and he didn't get the ball enough. Remember that, too. There are two losses in the division, 28-0 and 24-3.
It just feels so much better. And I know, Detroit won. Oh, I know. That's great and cute. I'm waiting for that matchup.
Yeah. Hey, they got
to
get it done in those matchups.
I'm waiting for Jesse to take off and not be around for that Friday, because that's going to be a fun show. We go up to Detroit. We beat Detroit a really good, and I'm not going to say it. No, I'm not there yet. I have to feel it.
Say it.
I have to feel it. I got to feel it, and I'm not there yet.
You just felt it, and then you pulled it back.
Don't make him force it.
I'm feeling it. Chicken.
But I'm not there.
Chicken. You should be at Quick Trip.
I want to see what the boys, how the boys end up shaking this thing out. But I feel really good about where this team's at coming out of the bye. That's all I'm going
to
say right now.
It's unfortunate that it's time for you to tell us about AmFam before we talk to Bulaga instead of Quick Trip and chicken.
Well, we could have made an audible, but I know you're, unlike Rogers, you don't like audibling. Packer fans, ready for some game day excitement? Well, next time you're at Lambeau, stop by the American Family Insurance Title Townhouse. Experience the thrill of making a game-saving play with our interactive Protect the End Zone game. Don't miss out on all the amazing giveaways, from exclusive Packers merch to special prizes. There's a little something for everybody. Visit us at Titletown to make your game day unforgettable. For more info, check out amfam.com/Packers. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly.
Says the guy who, when I change it up, says, I had AmFam ready for you, but okay, pour me in, coach. Brian Bulaga joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
ESPN Wisconsin has the players, and now we have the coach.
They better get season tickets right now, because before long, they probably won't be able to.
The Great Dane Huddle with Barry Alvarez, Mondays on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in.
Music means our favorite farmer, America Needs Farmers, our favorite Iowa alum, tied for our favorite former Packers right tackle. It is Brian Bulaga on Wilde and Tausch. Brian, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We are outstanding. Hey, we were going through some stats, and I withheld one in anticipation of your arrival. Tell me if the film agrees with this statistic. The number one team in the National Football League in fewest sacks per attempt at 4.3% is the Green Bay Packers. Does the film bear that out? And what have you seen from the, I know we'll get into tackle talk, but I wanted to start there because that surprised me a little bit, frankly, that they are the best in the league in that department.
Yeah, no, they have not given up a lot of sacks by any means. Like they overall, they've had a fairly good year of protecting the passer. They've had some breakdowns here and there, but giving up sacks has not been their issue. I think Jordan Love's done a good job of getting out of some pressures. I think that if you look at their pressure ratio, that may be a little bit higher because they have had some breakdowns in that. In that category, but from a sack standpoint, they've been pretty clean for the most part in that. I mean, I think I can't remember the game that they gave up two or three. Like I can't a game's not coming to mind where I was like, man, this game is not going well. Like it doesn't come to mind. So doesn't shock me too much.
Well, we will see how they do in the second half of the season. We were discussing this as well before you joined us. I know you're a professional, so you're already aware that we were discussing Josh Jacobs. But when you've watched the film, what have you seen from him? I assume you and Bill Barnwell are on the same page. He's been a disappointment.
Oh, wait, what? Wait, that's what he said?
Well, he was a disappointment to Bill. apparently not productive enough on first down, in Bill's opinion.
Oh, okay. I don't agree with him. I think he's been good. He's certainly been exactly what Green Bay has needed, right? Like, and I think that's all you can ask for, right? Like, I think he's been a steady workhorse back. I think he gives them enough in the pass game. He finally scored his touchdown that we all talk about, Jason. I remember on the pregame show, he finally got his first receiving touchdown and broke whatever record that he held. And I think from the run game standpoint, he grinds out runs. Like, I always feel like he's falling forward, getting that extra yard or two. There's been times where he's been a little loose with the ball. I mean, what was the game at home that he fumbled at the one? What game was that?
Indianapolis, I believe, when he had 150 yards. Yep.
Yeah, like that came to mind. But, like, throughout the season, man, I think he's been solid. I really do. I mean, how many total rush yards does he have?
762.
I mean, that's really good. I mean, that's really good. So, like, I'm not too sure how that's disappointing. I think the only thing you could want more is, like, more touchdowns maybe. What's he at, like, three or four?
Three rushing touchdowns. Yep, you're right about that.
Yeah, I think you could say, you know, I wish he had five or six. But I think those are coming. I think, you know, as we all know, the cold months ahead bring out a back like him. He's going to shine as the winter months come. And that's what I've been talking to Chicago radio, you know, over this week so far. I've been doing a lot of things with, you know, WGN and the Score. And they have been asking about, you know, what is this Green Bay Packers team? And you know, I think the question for a lot of people is, what are they? Because we haven't really seen a complete game besides maybe the Cardinals game, and maybe now seeing the way the Cardinals are playing, maybe that was a good game, right? Maybe that was, you know, a good game that they played. But
no, they stand. Jason said they're the worst team in the league.
I didn't say they're the worst team in the league. I did not.
You said they stink and don't take anything from that game.
I did say that. That would be an accurate quote. I still think they stink. And I'm glad I could motivate them to win three in a row or four in a row or whatever they've done now.
Okay. But regardless of what I was saying, like, I think this team in the second half of the season, I do think Jordan Love's going to play better, but I think this team is going to be driven by Josh Jacobs offensively. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be the driver of this thing, and they're going to rely on him a bunch in the second half because that's what it's going to take, I think. I think Jordan Love's going to play better, and I get you paid him a ton of money, and you want him to be the guy. I get that. But you brought in Jacobs for a reason, and I think he's going to go to work in the second half.
And Blue, can you explain to everybody else, and I know Jason has not fought me on this, but the whole concept of going from under center and how important that is to the play action, and with Josh Jacobs, I do agree with you. I think it's going to be physical, run the football, and I wasn't surprised that the run game is as good. I didn't know for sure that it was that good, that really Baltimore with Lamar Jackson and that, you know, added element, it's going to be tough to overtake them. But that run game has been really good. And having Jordan be healthy enough to be able to do everything from under center is going to really help this offense take off. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I mean, under center run game is always better than the gun run game. It just always is. I mean, what the under center run game is, well, at least for me, I always thought it was better because you're able to, obviously the play action, but you're able to hide the run better from the linebackers, and the D linemen don't have such a good view of the back in the backfield, right? If they're in the gun, the DNs can easily punch and peek and see where that back is. When the quarterback's under center and the running back's in the dot and everyone's flowing and the quarterback's sprinting out to do an outside zone or an inside zone, whenever it is, those D linemen have to fly. They have to go. They have to run. And that's where you start seeing these big cutback lanes and things start to open up. And in the gun run game, man, everyone can see what's going on. The linebackers are unimpeded by anything. They're not – like it's very easy to see. And the play action out of the gun run game stinks. It just does. No one buys it. The linebackers can see it clear as day that it's not getting handed off. And really, like, it's just not effective. Like, it just really isn't. I was listening to you a little bit before I came on, Tausch, and you explained it exactly right. When the quarterback comes flying out of there acting like he's handing off, everyone comes, you know, flying up to the line of scrimmage, and that's when you get those hole shots in behind with Tucker Kraft and Watson down the field. That's when you get it, when you're able to be under center and you get the boots and things like that. In the gun run game, you don't get that, or in the gun play action game, you don't get that same sellout from the defense because everyone can see it, and that's just the truth.
So, Blue, could you take us back when A-Rod pulled his calf and you guys had to go exclusive pistol? What that did to your play action game and the run game back, and you still obviously had a ton of success, but what did that kind of go through what that was like when you were playing?
Yeah, well, it was, you know, he popped it in Tampa, I believe it what it was. He popped it in Tampa, and that was, what was that, Jason? That was the second to last game of the season, I think.
It was. He also became very popular in the Tampa St. Pete area for saying it was because of the turf. Do you remember the turf being really bad that would have caused the calf injury, or is that not necessarily true?
You know, I don't remember the condition of the field. I was happy. I was happy it was grass, but I was also very disappointed because I remember that day. It was like 90% humidity, and I was dying on the field. Like, it was so hot. But I do remember that it made – that was with Eddie Lacy, and obviously that – offensive line that we had was very good, and it was a very veteran group. But I mean, Corey was a rookie, but you know, he was playing well beyond his years. The pistol run game, because we hadn't been doing it throughout the year that much, I think was more effective because teams hadn't seen it, right? It was something we really pulled out the last week of the season a little bit, and then into the playoffs, and we hadn't really shown many looks out of it until we got into the playoffs. That's really all Aaron could do. So it was more effective because it wasn't really on tape that much. But we did notice from a play action standpoint, we weren't really getting much buy out of it, right? Like, you know, you would go to do a run sell and those D linemen would just be charging upfield. Cause let's be real. I mean, Tausch, you kind of know this too. Like, there wasn't much run sell anyway when you were trying to sell play action anyway, right? Those D linemen were guessing that it was a pass anyway, so they were rushing the passer. So you had to be careful with it anyway, but especially out of gun or pistol, you just had to be careful. But the pistol game worked good because we hadn't shown much of it, and it went because we had a good back with Eddie, and we had a good lineman, and obviously Aaron was really good at getting us in and out of looks that were bad, and you know, throwing those quick look throws out wide when he had advantageous looks, and it worked out well. But I'm hoping by, you know, we'll get an update on Jordan Love later today. I know, Jason, you'll ask. I hope he's okay. I hope he's healthy.
He'll ask. That's true.
Yeah.
After well, Matt says he was limited.
I hope that they're not put in that position that he can, you know, has to continue to play out of the gun like that. Because that does hamper the offense. It just does. And it becomes a little more predictable at that point in time. Because this LaFleur offense is an under-center offense, like the heart of it. The meat of it is under-center. Mm-hmm. Everyone has the gun game and all that, but like the heart of this thing is under-center play action.
Which we learned very early on in 2019 when Hasselbeck talked to us about how they mirror their nobody loves Mike McCarthy any more than me on this panel. You guys both loved playing for him. But one of the critiques was when his play action fakes did not match up with actual passes. And the whole point, which Matt Hasselbeck explained to us early on and we've certainly learned since, is that when you can get when you can get those two married up and the defense doesn't know what exactly you're doing, it makes everything easier on the quarterback. And I would argue that when Jordan was healthy last season and they figured out their offense, that's another reason, in addition to Aaron Jones' productivity, in addition to the offensive line playing well.
Aaron Jones is the cause-effect there.
Right.
If you have somebody that they don't respect in the backfield, they're not going to – it's like, oh, okay, whatever. We'll live with that. We'll give you 3-4 yards.
Yeah. Yeah, the back is the key there. I mean – you know what I'm saying? Like, but Jason, you're 100% right. Like, there were times, and Tausch knows this too, we would be running, you know, play action power, and we didn't have power in the game plan as a run.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just doesn't sync up, right? Like, it doesn't show. That was never if we were going to do a, you know, play action power it with LaFleur, we had already run power in the game some way, shape, or form to give that appearance that, hey, we're going to try to make it this type of game.
Big Blue, now, you want to be on the front set. You want to be on the front side of that fake power. I can tell you that. You don't want to be on the back.
You want to be on the double team side of that. You don't want to be the one-on-one guy on the back.
Wait a minute. So for those of us that did not play in the National Football League, that was funny to you two. Help the rest of us understand what that joke is. Can you explain the joke
for us? So if you're on the backside, you're basically one-on-one on an island with somebody, and you can they tell you, oh, sell the run. But then if you sell the run, an old boy screams up the field and drills the quarterback, hey, you got to get out there and take care of him. Whereas if you're on the front side, oh, it's a nice cushy little double team with somebody, and you're slamming down, and it's like – it's almost like a keep pass. It's beautiful. But then if they run it the other way, you're like walking up to her like, ugh. Boy, I wish they would.
Hey,
Cliffy would probably say, hey, let's run that the other way.
Yeah,
that's why it's fun.
Tausch, and they don't, you know, what people don't remember or think about too is that your guard next to you on the backside is gone. So it opens up the B gap.
So it is wide open.
Yes. It's wide open. So that DN can go anywhere he wants, and you have to cover, and the play takes forever.
It's all day. And, well, you got to sell the run. Matter of fact, Blue, and this is – we used to run basically a zone, and then the backside, the play against Greg Jennings in Denver, we get to go to overtime, and they dial up fake 93. So everybody's coming off the left side, and it's that exact thing. It's just a wide five. It's Elvis Dumervil, and I'm like, oh, play.
Oh, fun.
And luckily, he ran into me, and I kind of got my hands on him, and he threw the 80-yard touchdown down to Greg Jennings, and I was like, soaked. Because that, you know, that go the other way real quick. Dumervil beats me, Strack, bam, Yep. I was happy as hell that game was over, I'll tell you that.
Hey, when you're on the backside of those play actions, man, that's no good. It's not fun business. No. It's not fun.
It is not.
It's not. I mean, you're praying you're on the front side of that thing. You are just praying.
Yeah.
We'll have more. We'll have more right tackle complaints for management. Put it in the suggestion box. That was great. That was really
just run a keep pass. My thing is always just run a keep pass. I don't care if we're front side or backside.
Yeah.
Just run a keep pass.
Tausch, well, let's raise a Coors Light to you for getting that block on that play. That is one of the iconic plays of that 07 season, that touchdown in Denver to win in overtime.
And it was near Golden, Colorado, which I do believe is where Coors Light is made. Nicely done, Jason. Thanks for the great setup. Coors Light brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's made to chill. Born in the Rocky Mountains, where we won in 07 on a great backside block. Coors Light is refreshing. It is crisp. It's only 102 calories. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Well, I got to ask Bulaga when
we
come
tease
back.
Out.
I got
let
a couple
me,
of things.
Let me
here we go.
Aside.
I got a couple of things. A comment I made yesterday, which I hopefully will remember, but also this idea that the Bears players went to the coaches Rudy style, dropping jerseys saying, I want Badgett playing. And if that's the most absurd thing Bulaga's going to hear on this clip today, we'll do that next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in, but when I go back home, I've got some famous friends. Yeah, I do.
I am not an insecure person, but it would be great for the flow of the show if you wish, just let me do the ins and outs. Because now, do I just turn it over to you again?
I jump in once in a while. No, go for it. I just thought it was an interesting little tidbit.
Continuing with Brian Bulaga, led
there you go.
By the host of the program, Mark Tausch. Tausch? I'm doing the Homer. When I'm on with Bulaga and Homer, Homer introduces me and then says, Brian, take it away. And then he stops. I don't even know if he stays.
Yeah,
he leaves.
He loves doing that on the post game too. But then there's times I'll start, like he wants me to do this opening statement, basically what happens. But then if he doesn't like where I'm headed, he'll jump in, which is a lot what I do with you. So
indeed,
it all works. Blue, how messed up are the Bears right now? And we'll get to the jersey swaps and all the other stuff. But it's a complete mess, is it not?
Yeah, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. It's not a lot of good rhetoric coming out of there. That game last week was very, very bad. That was awful football. And I had it on because I had the YouTube TV thing on, the three games on at once. I was watching it. It was terrible.
Sounds fancy.
Like I could.
Sounds very fancy.
Yeah,
Brian's so smart. He can watch three games at once.
You can watch three games. Wow.
Hey, well, I like to see what's happening in the different games.
Yeah.
And I certainly didn't want to watch that game on its own because that would not be the game I'd want to watch on its own.
Neither did Matt Eberflus.
There's no way I was going to do that one solo. But that was bad, and I feel like and Jason, obviously you've been covering this team a long time. Tausch, you played for a long time. I feel like ever since Lovie Smith, this is the cycle they've been on, right? Like they fired Lovie Smith at 10-6, and ever since then they have been on this cycle of coaches and quarterbacks, and here we are again. Like, this is it. Like, and it's the same thing over and over again, and here they are, and it's going to happen again. Like, this is it. Like, this guy's done after this year, and they're going to bring in a new coach, and he may not like Caleb Williams, and they're going to start all – like, it's just so predictable, and I don't even know what to say.
So,
because the thing is, they have good players offensively. Like, they have talent. Like that, and they got talent on defense too. It's just like, it's like the guys, they're done.
They don't have any belief.
It's like they're done.
They don't have any belief.
Yeah.
They have no belief. And Blue, before Jason takes back over, it's ridiculous, right? Like, we saw the movie Rudy, where they're bringing in jerseys and saying, if he's not playing, I'm not out there. They're trying to tell us that they went, look at that handsome fella. They're trying to say, they're trying to get, can you imagine at some point in your career that you thought so-and-so would be a better tight end, and you're going to go up to Goody or Ted and the coaches and say, I don't think that's the right fit. We need to move in a different direction at quarterback or this position. Can you ever imagine anybody doing that outside of the quarterback?
No. No, that doesn't even, like, make any sense to me whatsoever, and I'm enamored by this video right now.
That's
because you don't have to hear the bad acting from old boy.
Yeah, like, but I can't imagine, like, there's no way that happened, right? Like, how would that have, A, leaked out?
Been reported by a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
has it been confirmed true?
I think Sylvie's got some pretty good sources.
I think Sylvie's on it. I think that's confirmed true. There's some old lineman that probably went up and said, hey, man, I don't know if we want to stick with the young kid right now. We don't want to ruin it. I don't know how it all shook out, but they wanted Badgett in there playing quarterback. Some of the older veterans wanted Badgett, thinking they could win.
Wow.
Probably maybe the offense could be a little more efficient. But I just can't believe that people actually did. If that's because I played 11 years. You played a long time, too. I would never, ever, I don't care how bad somebody would be, that's on them to make those decisions. Can you imagine going up and saying, yeah, I just don't think Rodgers has got it. I think Matt Flynn was a better matchup with versus the Cowboys. Like, what the heck?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't imagine doing it for any player on the roster. Like, really. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I could never imagine going up, talking to whatever coach and saying, hey, I think we got to go in a different direction this week. Like, who am I to do that? Like, that's not my job. Like, that's for someone else
Isn't that it, Blue? Green Bay has built it. And listen, man, we're all – Jason's not, but we want to see the Packers do well. That's the difference. That's an organizational thing. You're not going to see that in Green Bay because the organization has either the right guys or the right leadership to say, you can go have a conversation with your coach.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say, well, I'm having a hard time on a B block because, my right guard's leaving me or I'm not – whatever. You can have those conversations. But the gall of a team that stinks – to be able to have those players go up and have that conversation, that tells you everything you need to know about how dysfunctional the entire organization is.
Yeah, it's in terrible shape. I mean, it's just in bad shape. Like, and instead of worrying about, like, what they're doing wrong on the field, they're going up to talk about what someone else is doing wrong on the field.
I got my guy. How's that guy doing? I'm doing my job.
Yep, the biggest CYA job just happened on Monday at Hallis Hall or wherever they work out at. I don't know. If that's not the writing on the wall for Flus, I don't know what else is. It's done.
Yep. Well, Jason feels very bad. He feels very bad for those young Bear fans.
Hold on, because Brian is from Chicagoland, and so I did want to ask him that. I also think it's important to add that they're at such a point of mutiny that the DJ Moore play where he gets knocked out of bounds so he can't – I understand. You've been bumped out of bounds. You've stepped out of bounds. You can't touch the ball. You can't be the first one to touch it. So if the ball gets thrown to you, you can't catch it anyway. I get that. But him beelining for the bench to go get a Gatorade and the play is still going on, between that and the guy trash-talking the Commanders fans while the successful Hail Mary is beginning, and now this, like – I don't know how many other instances there have been of this kind of stuff, like getting this far out of hand. So that leads me to this question, because you have relatives. You grew up as a Bears fan ish in Chicago? No.
No, my dad hated him when they fired Ditka, so
oh,
I never grew
right.
up a Bears fan.
Ditka, yeah. Bears.
I did
Pull
know that story.
Sausage.
So, but you have buddies that are Bears fans, right?
Yep.
And I said yesterday in a very, very, very unpopular position that I felt bad for Bears fans, not for Matt Eberflus, not for Ryan Poles, not for the players, not for the McCaskey family. I feel bad for Bears fans because it's not their fault that the fandom that they were largely, except for you, because of Ditka.
You feel bad for Big Cat. Big Cat down at Bars. You feel bad for Big Cat?
Yeah, he's a fan, right? It must suck. Like, I just can't imagine, from my perspective, covering a team that is this dysfunctional. And imagine now, this is the team that you put your heart and soul and you put on your jersey.
Hey, Jason, a lot of great stories coming out of there, though. You don't care about the wins and losses. You want drama and stories.
It's true. If
this
you
is
your hands
your
on those
dream.
Stories.
You're wearing Bear Orange today? Yeah, you might be
WNBA.
Like a closet Bear
WNBA.
Guy.
Yeah. So, Brian, do you talk to your buddies back in Chicago? Do you hear from them? Are they as stunned and exasperated at what a train wreck the Bears have become as many others are?
Yeah, I'm actually in a group thread right now with them. And, I get all the memes sent to me of the Bears, and they're like, this is just an absolute train wreck. They've wrecked another quarterback. This thing's over. Like, they're fired. Like, it's... This is ridiculous. It's literally like every year. It's like the same thing. Like the same group text starts, the same rhetoric starts around week 7 or 8 every year.
Groundhog Day. It's Groundhog Day.
Yes.
Right off season. If this is our year, we finally got our quarterback. Oh, we lost to the Packers. Oh, we stink. Oh, let's fire the offensive coordinator. Oh, let's fire the coach.
Yep.
Let's fire the GM and bring in a new quarterback. Rinse, lather, repeat.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what it is. They want to look back on, we drafted it. Like, you need to look back to Lovie Smith. That's where it started. Like, when they fired him, I remember when they fired him, it was like, what are they doing? They went 10-6. How do you, it was like when the Chargers fired Schottenheimer, right? They were never the same after they did that. Like,
you're right.
It's like the same, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just don't fire winning coaches. And that's what happened. It's never been the same. And that's what they're experiencing. And
you do.
Yeah. And that's what happens.
Organizations do. All right. So, Brian, before we let you go, there have been those, not Tausch and I, because we're not willing to say these types of things. You've heard me tell the story of being on the media bus to Super Bowl 32 and being a 25-year-old know-it-all and saying, I don't see any way the Packers lose this game to a 12.5-point underdog Denver Broncos team, and of course they did. So I'm not willing to say, I don't see any way the Packers lose this game. Are you? Are you willing to say, I don't see any way the Packers lose this game?
No, there's a way they can lose the game.
Yeah,
there's definitely a way. There's definitely a way they can lose the game. And I said this Monday to Homer, and I'll repeat it with you guys. I mean, you guys have a large audience as well. Like, I think Packer fans need to look at
larger.
This.
Larger.
Yeah, larger. Sorry. Sorry.
Come on, Blue.
I was just
going for the joke. I was just
He's
going
very
for
smug, it. Blue. He's a very smug guy.
That was
on his birthday, nonetheless.
Yeah, well, happy birthday. I guess you're allowed to do that now.
It's Homer's birthday.
Oh, it's Homer's birthday today?
I thought it was your birthday,
Jason.
No,
it's not my birthday.
What the heck is going on?
No, it's Homer's birthday. He's 70 today.
Well, I mean, Jesse, be more specific. You just can't say on his birthday. Yeah. I mean, well, who are we talking about?
That's what Jesse likes doing. He's an ambiguous young fella.
Anyway, there's a way the Bears can win.
Yes, and I say that because, like, there's a way. I mean, you're going into their place. Could they play worse than what they did last week? I mean, I don't think so. Like, I don't think they can play worse.
Right?
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think they can play worse. I think, obviously, there's been some changes there. There's probably maybe a little bit of a spark. I don't know how much. And what the only thing, and which I think is going to be cleaned up, is Jordan Love's got to take care of the football. You can't give them some life and give them short fields and give them an opportunity to put points on the board, right? Like, you can crush their spirit in the first quarter by going 14-0, and then the game, you just then you just crush them in the first half and it's done. If you give them a little life, this thing looks different. And that's the way I see it going. Like, I think they take care of business.
I understand this last thing. I understand there's an offensive coordinator, not a head coaching change. But, you know, because of Tausch's career and the way it played out, you're really the only one that we can ask what happens when your coach or there's a major change in season. You were obviously on the 2018 team when Mike got fired and Joe Philbin took over. What was the vibe there? Did that have any – was it like a funeral? Was it, all right, let's bounce back and let's go get him for Joe? What was that like for you on that team?
Yeah, I mean, listen, everyone respected the hell out of Joe Philbin, and we all liked Joe Philbin, and we wanted to do well for Joe. Like, right? Like, I mean, everyone wanted to, but it's a gut punch when something like that happens, because it's what it is it's an indictment on you as a player, right? Like, you have played so bad that you got your coach fired, and that's and that's what it is. And that was probably like, and you know, you've had, I mean, I've had losing seasons, obviously 17 and 18. I've torn ACLs. I've lost NFC championships. That was probably my, I mean, I've been in the Chargers with, we've lost a lot of games. That was probably my worst NFL season, because I felt like as a player, I let Coach McCarthy down as a player, because we, as a team, he was fired, right? Like, that was the worst feeling. And whether or not it was the player's fault or hit, like, that's regardless. As players, we feel like it's our job to go out there and win. And if we don't do it and a coach gets fired, that's on us. So, like, that's how I felt. And I don't know if that's how the Bears, you know, players feel or not. I have no idea if they take that upon themselves. I doubt
like
they
it.
Do. Yeah,
feels
I doubt
like they
do.
Think that he's the problem. They're going to be better.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I get.
Which, well, there's no easy fix. There's no such thing as an easy fix, unfortunately, especially mid-season. It never works that way. It's the way it goes.
Brian, we are always better when you join us. I will talk to you tomorrow on the Homer Hour. We appreciate it when you join us, and send the old man a birthday note, because we'll be celebrating his birthday coming up here in a couple of segments. Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care.
That is Brian Bulaga, Iowa, who joins us every Wednesday and makes us smarter as a result. If you want to be smart and you need help because you've been injured in an accident, then be smart and make the call. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. You know who that number is. It's Gruber Law Offices. 414-276-6666. You can also go to the website to find out more about the firm, all the great lawyers that are there, how David and his team are involved in our communities. I see him everywhere now on videos of people dressing up as him at Halloween. He's got billboards here in Green Bay. He's everywhere, and that's because he fights for you. Again, Gruber Law Offices, 414-276-6666. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.